Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Getting us into a wonderful spiritual mood. Don Becker always, he'll comment on your playing and just let my teaching go on by. I don't know if he listens to it or not. He just comments on your playing. And, no, he does. But he really appreciates it. He'll play your playing part over and over, riding down the highway. When they were up in Colorado, they downloaded about 6 classes and listened to it driving back to Cameron, Missouri. I told him, I said, Don, I don't know. I don't think I could take 6 hours of me. 1 hour of me is all I could have taken. I don't know how you could do that to those people in the car. Oh, I don't know. when he started, the car was full. By the time the third one was over, he had let him out along the road. Between Tin Cup, Colorado and Cameron, Missouri. There are people still trying to get home.
That's good, man.
Oh, let's open the Bible to James 1:12. James 1:12, as we continue our study of one of the great crowns and rewards we can receive at the judgment seat of Christ, the crown of life. The crown of life. And let's talk a little bit here about prayer. Now, we need to continue to be in prayer for Tish. They've changed her routine again, trying to work with what will work and all this. And they're finding out a lot of things. Got a very important email on I know about it, but just the confirmation of advanced research of of high influx of vitamin C in fighting cancer. And they're discovering more and more that it is effective. It's got so much clinical support now. And it's been advocated for some time by naturalists. But, of course, the Medical Association always shuns those kind of things. But there is so much proof of it. And the fundamental principle is that cancer feeds on sugar. I'm sure everybody knows that. And cancer feeds on sugar. Sugar and oxygen. And so the structure of vitamin C inside of our body has the same structure as sugar. And vitamin C, the cancer thinks that it's sugar and comes up and takes it and it kills it. So it's, rather than throwing a grenade and destroying everything, you put this in and it just picks those up. And it kills it. And it's been proven effective in prostate and a lot of cancer. So hopefully some of those things will work for her. We need to be in prayer for Eve. She's doing very well. Got the staples out, doing a little walk, and chomping at the bit to get back and worship with us. So we need to continue to be in prayer for Eve at this time. Edna's knees need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker, and she continues to heal from the fractured hip. Nathan, we need to be in prayer for Nathan. So he continues to endure the wonders of basic training.
I thought he was enjoying it.
The what?
I hope he enjoyed it.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Well, I don't know. We don't go there to enjoy that. You know, you enjoy it after it's over. And you're glad you went through it, but I don't want to do it again. Isn't that right, Jim?
Yeah.
You did it. You're glad you did it and you survived it, but that's it. And yes.
We need to pray for our friend in Florida who wears a halo. She's right in the middle of a storm
with him. Is she now? Right, so it is right where she is.
It's raining pretty hard, and concerned about tornadoes here.
All right, we're talking about Phyllis, so we need to be in prayer for Phyllis, and we need to be in prayer for the storm if it dares to touch her house, because she'll give it what for?
That's right.
So that's be in prayer for her house, and Phyllis lives alone. And Phyllis has a kitchen, but she never goes into it. And She has a sign that said, the only reason this house has a kitchen is because it had it when I bought it. But she's faithful and a regular member here, and we always appreciate those. So, yes, we need to be in prayer for Phyllis.
Also, Vic needs more prayer. Same difficulty in speaking his room.
Oh, wow. Is it related to his diabetes?
No, it's just another thing.
Okay.
Very raspy and very
okay, well, mine's raspy too. We can talk on the phone and be raspy. But I will be in prayer for Vic and Cindy. That's very good. Let's see, anything else? Be in prayer? Okay. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Prepare ourselves for our study tonight, the crown of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to take time out of our busy life and just settle down and worship you. Put in perspective what our life is about, things that go on in our marriages and our homes and work, things that are going on in our country with the presidential election, the world's conditions, and just to sit back and worship you. Just to take time with others who are like-minded. And realize that all of these things are just shadows in the wind. You're in control. You're in control of history. We don't need to get worried about a presidential election. You're in control. The movement of armies. The change in our political economic structure. We live at this time in history. It's a time when we can demonstrate that you are sufficient for our lives. You're sufficient for taking care of whatever issues come up. That we can have peace and joy. And then, Heavenly Father, to add to that the realization that for receiving these things from your Spirit, receiving this joy, this inner peace, in the midst of all that's going on, there awaits a crown of life, a crown of righteousness. You're going to reward us for receiving your blessings in our lives. That just boggles the imagination, the understanding. What an awesome God you are, Father. So I thank you for this study. The reminder, the realization that we'll stand before Jesus Christ, our Savior and our friend. And He'll examine our lives as to whether we found Him sufficient or not. Father, I pray your Spirit will lead us tonight as we continue our examination of the crown of life, that it will guide us in our lives, the choices that we make. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm really excited about what's going to happen tomorrow night. We're going to take a look at the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We've done a lot with Jesus Christ and God the Father. The humanity of Christ, the deity of Christ, God the Father. But we're going to start examining the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And got an interesting study we're going to look at in Genesis. In dealing with, I'm going to send you another, like me, helpmate. And we're going to look at some things in Genesis, and it's going to be a beginning of a lot of fun, I think, tomorrow night. But tonight we're going to look at how God not only blesses us in time if we walk in the Spirit, but also at the judgment seat of Christ. We've well documented the judgment seat of Christ. We've well documented that we're going to be there. So now we're going to continue looking at the crown of life in James 1:12. Blessed or happy is the believer, the man, the believer, male, female, who perseveres under severe trial. For once he has been approved, and that is approved as to his walking in the power of the Spirit, approved that he did not abandon the Spirit-filled life, he will receive the crown of life. It's called a crown of life because it was given due to the suffering. So life, the suffering unto life. Now we have the phrase which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Now the Greek word means just that, a promise. This is where we left off last week. Now, what is the basis of receiving the crown of life, of which the Lord has promised to those who love Him? Those who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit is really what he's saying again, because the way of getting spiritual love is by the Holy Spirit. Whenever we have these kind of statements, we have to go with, where does that come from? It comes from the fruit of the Spirit. So it's those who will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But what is emphasized is the result of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit or spiritual love. And we noted two observations in closing last Tuesday night. The first observation, you do not receive the crown of life by observing the Mosaic law. There are no rewards given at the judgment seat of Christ for observing the law. We'll be dealing with that Sunday morning in Romans 2. Romans 2 is fun. Romans 2 is just a lot of fun. It's gonna hit a lot of self-righteous people. Romans 1, the end of Romans 1, we dealt with all the horrible sinners and the pagans and all those people. And there's been a group over in the corner going, yay, 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 let them have it. And we're wonderful. And Paul's going to turn on them. And then there's another group, third group, the religious crowd. They're good and sitting over there, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's going to hit them. So we got some fun stuff coming up in Romans 2. But here we're in James 1 at the judgment seat of Christ. The second observation, the relationship of the first part of this verse with the last. In other words, we have the middle phrase, he will receive the crown of life. And on each side of that phrase, we have the conditions for receiving the crown of life. Happy is the man who perseveres in suffering. So that's one part. Perseveres in suffering, under adverse suffering and strong temptation. For once he's been approved, now the last phrase, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So we have two parts of this. Two aspects of receiving the crown of life. Persevere under suffering. That means you do not betray. You do not give up. You do not walk away. Not faint. You persevere. Perseverance, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Who love Him. Now, we are seeing love is a condition during the greater works on Wednesday night and in John 14. But here we see it as a man, as a, not talking about loving Him, not loving one another, love Him. Love Him is important to doing the greater works. Loving Him is issue in receiving the crown of life. Now, what is the relationship between these two conditional clauses? We persevere for a purpose. We resist temptation because there is something else. Some reason why we resist temptation to stop walking by faith. A married person resists temptation of infidelity for two basic reasons. One, their own integrity. And two, their love of their spouse. Now, in our passage, the believer perseveres, resists temptation to abandon the spirit-filled life. Why? Into of the person of Jesus Christ. They're demonstrating His importance to them. God the Father loves the Son. You come along and you demonstrate under severe suffering that Jesus Christ is still more important to you. That you, even in the midst of suffering, are not going to abandon. God the Father says, I want to reward that. I want to reward that. This is so powerful. Spiritual love is so powerful in many areas of our life. Spiritual love for Jesus Christ, we've got two of them already right now in our studies. Greater works, rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Spiritual love for one another. One, all will know that we belong to Jesus Christ. And secondly, the result that spiritual love for one another has in our lives. So it's just amazing. There are a lot of religions, preachers, people, love, 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 love. They're sloppy, energy of the flesh, all these kind of things. So it causes some people to back off. Well, love's emotionalism, and it's impersonal. The love that God wants is impersonal love and all this kind of thing. No, people, think about it. If you're Satan, and you know how important spiritual love is, you're going to do everything you can just to weaken it, water it down, distort it, get some people to turn against it, and get these other people to misunderstand it, misapply it. Do anything you can. That's great strategy. Great tactics. Great tactics. Because it is so vital. Love for Jesus Christ determines receiving the crown of life at the judgment seat of Christ. This love is so strong, it'll not allow us to leave Jesus Christ. React to circumstances in life. We walk in the Spirit. We love Him. We're occupied with Him. Our love for Him. Here's the suffering. I can't worry about the suffering. He's more important to me. He's just more important. If I did away with the suffering, if I did away with the suffering by leaving Jesus Christ, would I be happy? No. That's the point. So we think, okay, I can avoid the suffering to stop walking in the power of the Spirit. Go live somewhere. Just get involved in life and not worry about any of this. Would I be happy? No. So I hope we begin to understand the relationship of the first and last phrases here. Persevering, suffering, love of Christ. You persevere because your love of the person of Christ. Both are fruit of the Holy Spirit. Both are fruit of the Holy Spirit. Perseverance is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit becomes the great issue. You persevere because of your love for the person of Christ. Not because of the Mosaic Law. Not because you're on some kind of a performance standard. The performance trap. The performance lie. Not by compulsion. But by spiritual love as fruit of the Holy Spirit for the person of Jesus Christ. See, this isn't related to others. Relation to others is in life when we have to deal with. This is a relationship to life itself, our love of Christ. Because He's more important than the suffering and the temptation. This is called the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. That's the law of Christ. We ought to lay down our life for one another. That's the law of Christ. Under the law of Christ, we receive the crown of life. Jesus Christ is in the life-giving ministry. And when we live under the law of Christ, we give life to others. That's why it's related to greater works. It's related to this crown of life. We give life. It's a crown of life when we love gives life. That's why 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, a life without love. A life without love is nothing. It's love that lives life. It gives life. So under the law of Christ, we receive. Christ is in the life-giving ministry. We live under the law of Christ. We give life to others. Unbelievers, the gospel. Believers, the gospel. Therefore, the crown of life under severe suffering. One thing about the law of Christ, that it is a voluntary law. Under the law of Christ, we have freedom to do it. We have the freedom to change anytime we wish. You can leave Christ. You can abandon the Spirit-filled life anytime you want. You can walk away. You can say, I know I've got eternal life solidified. That's taken care of. I just don't want this suffering anymore. I'm walking. You can do that. You can leave. You have the freedom to do it. Freedom to change. We can leave Christ. We can go over to the give into the temptation to leave. The law of Christ is a voluntary. And there is a crown of life for those who remain under the law of Christ, who love Him to the end of their life. Now let's clear up one thing. This is not the kind of love that most people have today. When they talk about loving Christ, love God, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love God. This is not the love that comes from the flesh that we're talking about here. When Christ said those who love Him, at the end of verse 12, He promised to those who love Him. We're not talking about love of the flesh, people. No matter how sincere, no matter how deep this love of the flesh is, there is no reward of the crown of life for love that comes from the flesh. There is no reward that comes from the law. There is no reward that comes from the energy of the flesh, from love energized by the flesh. I love Jesus and I want to feel it, and I want other people to feel it, and all this type of emotionalism. This love does not receive this crown. God cares about what kind of love we love with. Is your love the love God is looking for? We've been on a momentum of, is your faith the faith that God is looking for? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in the Spirit? Or are you trusting that if you do this, then God will do that? So both are saying they're doing faith. And we've spent a lot of time, is your faith the faith God is looking for? Now we've twisted this a little bit, turned it here. Is your love the love that God is looking for? Because it can be love of the flesh. It can be love of the Spirit. And most people are impressed with the love of the flesh. And why not? It comes from us. It glorifies us. We try to control one another with it. But I love you. How could you do this to me? I love you. Let me control you with my love. See, the thing about love, it doesn't have claws. It doesn't have claws. Can't control with love. Control with law, control with righteousness, but not with love. But we're so impressed with our love, and we try to put guilt on people, try to put shame on people, try to control people. I love you. How could you do this? And we're so impressed with our love that comes from us. So is it the love that God is looking for? And the love that God is looking for is very simple. Very simple. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Bible tells us. The love that He's looking for is a love as a fruit of the Spirit. How do we get this love? That's why spirituality is so important. Without getting into names, I got a prayer request for you. There's a pastor, been talking with John Hintz, and about spirit-filled life by faith, and boy, he's resisted. And he's stayed with old ways, but he's been on this journey and for several years now. John's been very patient, been several years. And this pastor was with his wife, and she just turned to him and she said, "Let me just ask you a question," because she's on this journey too. Where in the Bible is there a verse on how to be filled with the Spirit? And he's a pretty knowledgeable pastor, and they started talking about it. So, are we on? Okay. So, just need to be in prayer for him. God knows who he is. And that he makes his journey, because he's just seeing slowly different things that John is saying in regard to spirituality by faith. Because people, it's so essential to know how. It's essential for the unbeliever to know how to be saved. That's why distorting the gospel is the great greatest evil. And it's so essential for the believer to know how to be filled with the Spirit. Those are the two most fundamental teachings in the Bible. How am I saved? How am I saved as a believer? How am I filled with the Spirit? Yes. They just talked about it. Just went through verses. Yeah, just went through verses. He admitted, you know, there really isn't. And that's a great step. Because you got to look. You got to look in the Old Testament. Where is the verse on how to be saved for the Old Testament believer? And John said, you go to Hezekiah 3:18, if you believe on Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, you shall be saved. Now, there is no Hezekiah, and there's no Hezekiah 3:18. But wouldn't there be wonderful if there were? And the confusion in the Old Testament is, how are you saved? By law, by faith. The confusion for the church, how are you filled with the Spirit? Many people rejected Jesus at the turn when he came because, one, he didn't fit their idea of what the Messiah was going to be like, and two, they had God. And that's why Christ said, if you were of God, you'd follow me. So, if God were your Father. And in the church, we don't want the Holy Spirit because we've got Jesus. So we have a same kind of problem that they had in the turn of history from the age of Israel to the church age. So how do we receive this love? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't go through that. That's not the point of the study. It's promised to those who love Him. How do I love Him? Well, now you got to go to Paul. Now you got to go to where we find out that where do you get love? Love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And most of these believers deceive themselves, those who think it's from the energy of the flesh and are impressed with their love of the flesh, deceive themselves as to their love for Jesus Christ or for His appearing. The flesh is deceitful above all else. Always remember that. If we're deceived by our love, if we're deceived by our works, if we're deceived by what we do, that should not surprise us. Our flesh nature is deceitful above all else. We studied that in the five characteristics of the flesh nature. The flesh nature is deceitful above all else. It will deceive us. It will deceive us that this is what God is looking for. So while they're deceived by their own love, I'm sorry. They're going to be shocked at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it has nothing to do with their eternal life salvation. Nothing whatsoever. And then I want to emphasize this. It has nothing to do, I got an email on this, it has nothing to do with the enjoyment of heaven, with the enjoyment of eternity. And the best way I know how to illustrate this is, right now, if you look at another believer, and that believer is prospered in some way, for me, I look at a pastor as a big church, and a lot of people, and a lot of this and that, and it doesn't bother you. And we're in a flesh nature here on earth with flesh and sin nature and all these things. And if in the power of the Spirit, God prospering others doesn't bother us, then you can imagine in eternity where there is no sin nature and there's the complete fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, that isn't going to bother anyone. So I just want to make that clear. But the receiving of the rewards is glorification of Jesus Christ. So, in that sense, we do want it. So, this becomes very important. There could be a lot of people shocked at the judgment seat of Christ. I say that, it's like the reality of heaven. The reality of heaven. This weekend, a brother went to visit his brother who was dying up in Decatur. He saw his brother. His brother, then the one that went to visit him, went back home and died Sunday of an aneurysm. His other brother died Monday. And the son of God said, isn't Uncle Harry going to be shocked when he sees George up there before him? And how did you get here before me? I just saw you down there. And what I loved about that when I was told that story was I loved the reality of heaven to this kid. That he just put things together. It wasn't like, oh, poor, you know, what's going to happen? It just, no, oh, okay. Gosh. Dad got there before Uncle George, and Uncle George thought he'd be there first, and he's going to get there, and Dad'll already be there. And I thought, that's so real. Heaven's got to be real to us. Will that happen? the lady that told me the story. And I don't know. I don't know. I know we'll recognize each other. I know that. But I don't know if as soon as we get there, they'll see each other. I can't answer that. It certainly makes a wonderful story. And it makes heaven a reality to us. But the judgment seat of Christ is a reality. We will stand before Jesus Christ. And so you don't want to be deceived. There are three categories of love as to their source. There is divine love, human love, and spiritual love. Divine love, human love, and spiritual love. Example, romantic love. Romantic love will not necessarily last all your life. Romantic love can die. Romantic love is killed. We've studied a whole story, when love grows cold. Romantic love, you cannot force someone to love you. But you can destroy their love for you. But spiritual love for Jesus Christ is a force. It's a spiritual force that has magnitude. And this means that this love can increase over our life. It increases by logging more time in the Spirit-filled life. It increases by learning more and more about Him from the Bible. It increases by following Him, by serving Him, by loving as He loved. So, spiritual love can be increased by these. So, we have the doctrine of the law of Christ, or enduring spiritual love for the person of Christ, is the basis of the law of Christ. It's the basis of receiving the crown of life at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's take up a few summary points. One. We have the certainty of salvation. We have the certainty of salvation due to the promises in the Word of God. And now we have the certainty of receiving rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you have any question about what you have to do to receive this reward, you can now forget it. The basis of receiving this reward of the crown of life is spiritual love for Christ. It's that simple. Persevering under suffering, spiritual love for Jesus Christ. It's beautiful. Two. Spiritual love is confined to the person who is first of all positioned in Christ. Now we've taken up persevering. I'm now looking at the love part. Spiritual love is confined to the person who is positioned in Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. The John 13 concept of being bathed. Washing the feet, being bathed. Peter said, bathe the whole body. He said, no, you don't need that. You've already been bathed. You cannot have a love relationship with Christ until you are saved. It's that simple. So it's essential we know how to be saved. You cannot receive rewards in eternity until you're given eternal life for eternity. And that's by faith in Jesus Christ. So point one, we have the certainty of salvation due to promises of the Word of God. We now have the certainty of receiving rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. The receiving the crown of life is very simple. Perseverance and spiritual love for Christ. Two, spiritual love is confined to those who are positioned in Christ. Got to have eternal life before you can have the eternal reward. Point three, spiritual love for Christ and God the Father is a response. Spiritual love for Jesus Christ, for God the Father, is a response to God's love for us. We love Him because He first loved us. God loved us first. Jesus Christ loved us first. So spiritual love for Jesus Christ, spiritual love for God the Father is a response to God's love for us. We love Him because He first loved us. God loved us first. Jesus Christ loved us first. As we develop a love for Jesus Christ, we're responding to His love for us. And any man would do well to learn this in marriage. A woman will respond to his love, and her love for him will grow as he loves her. She responds to his love. And the more we learn of his love, the more we see his love for us. The more we learn of his love, the more we see his love for us. How do we see his love? Through the scriptures. Through the scriptures, the more we see his love, the more we're just like right now, just about letting us know about eternity, letting us know about eternal life, letting us know about the judgment seat of Christ, letting us know about the rapture, letting us know about the heavenly worship, receiving a resurrected body, the heavenly worship, the judgment seat of Christ, the wedding feast of the Lamb, and all these wonderful things. That's a demonstration of love. He didn't leave us wondering and worrying and in fear. I'm going to give you enough information. Why don't we know more about heaven, people? We couldn't handle it. We could not handle it. We could not handle the reality of heaven. So we have it in these terms that we can understand. So we learn about his love through Scripture. The more we're motivated to love him, we see him serving us. We know how to serve. If the more you know about Christ serving you, the more you'll know how to serve others. We see his love, and love is a response. Point four. Since spiritual love for Jesus Christ, not for one another, but for Jesus Christ, since spiritual love for Christ is a response to his love for us, growth in spiritual love comes from a knowledge of the Word, which reveals His love to us, for us. Since spiritual love for Christ is a response to His love, we love Him because He first loved us, growth in spiritual love comes from knowledge and learning more and more about His love for us. Since the basis of this reward is spiritual love for Christ, is of such magnitude that you endure all suffering, all temptations, then we should know how to increase your capacity for love. Well, increase your capacity of love. Love is magnitude. It increases. And as suffering increases, we want this love, the magnitude of this love, to increase proportionally. The more severe suffering, the greater we want this love to be. For him. Spiritual love is dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Two, spiritual love is dependent upon the knowledge of Scripture, and this by the Holy Spirit. And three, spiritual love is dependent upon knowledge of Christ's love for us, which is by the Holy Spirit. So fundamentally, spiritual love is dependent upon the Holy Spirit teaching us the Holy Scriptures. Knowledge of the Bible. A love of it. I don't know why we have as many as we do on Sunday morning and so few Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that God the Holy Spirit leads these people not to be here. That's hard for me to believe. Maybe true. It's not for me to judge. But it's hard for me to believe that they just are led of the Spirit to stay home on Tuesday, Wednesday. There's so many wonderful things to be grasped out of this book. If it's me as the pastor of this church and they need to get a new pastor, they're one that they will come. If it's something else, they need to get it straight. Because this is how love is going to grow, and love is essential for receiving a reward of the crown of life at the judgment seat of Christ. I can't make it any clearer than that. Point five. Having spiritual love for Christ, and I keep saying spiritual love rather than just love, having love for Christ, just to kind of get it into our mind that this is from the Holy Spirit, the spiritual being that we are, and those kind of reasons. I could say having this love for Christ, but I just like to say spiritual love, SL, to kind of keep us oriented. Having the spiritual love for Christ, love of the Holy Spirit, from a spiritual creature that we are in Christ, demands knowledge of Christ. But it does demand knowledge of Christ, but it also demands and requires power. Power. Energy. It's a force. Spiritual love is a force. Demands power, energy. Everything we do under the law of Christ must be executed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, tomorrow night we're going to start with Jesus Christ saying, I will send you another helper. This is the power source. God the Father gave to us the law of Christ, and God the Father gave to us the Holy Scriptures. To develop this love, God the Father gives us the power to love. This means that God the Father gives everything necessary for each of us to receive the crown of life. This is beautiful. This is what you have to do to receive the crown of life. I'm giving you everything that's necessary. It's like, you're going to need $5 to buy what I want you to buy. Here's $5. This is what you're going to need to receive a crown of life. I'm giving it to you. We just don't use it. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Galatians 3, 5. It's coming up a lot in my studies. I'm getting ready in September, late September, to go to Tulsa and teach a series on stress, anxiety, depression. Just adding things that we haven't even studied here. And I don't know how I'm going to put it all together, but there's so much to be noted. Galatians 3:5. Does he, that's referring to God the Father, does he then, and the word then continues the logic of thought, who provides you with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and instead of and, it should be even working, that's a participle, even working power. It's not miracles, it's dunamis. Working power. Not among you, but in you. Does he, God the Father, who supplies you, the believer, with the Holy Spirit, even working power in you, do it by the works of the law here in faith. So, getting back to point 5, having this spiritual love for Christ demands knowledge of Christ, but it also demands the power. It demands power. People, it is just so amazing how Christians do not understand the energy of the flesh isn't going to cut it with God. Never has and never will. He's not impressed. The world is impressed. I've been watching the Olympics. I'm just impressed with what these athletes have done and what they can accomplish. And then the work done and all these things. And then just life that the people put forth a lot of energy and from the flesh to accomplish things in life. I love biographies of people and how they've overcome adversity and all these things. But people, before God, these things just don't matter. He can only use his own power. It's the power source that God is looking for, and that's the Holy Spirit. So God has given to us the love, the power, the Spirit, everything necessary to receive the reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Point 6. Holy Scriptures give you knowledge to love Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you the power. The Holy Scriptures give you the knowledge to love Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to love Jesus Christ. But it is up to you to love Him. And to love Him all your life. What have I just said? It's up to you whether you walk in the Spirit or not. The Holy Scriptures give you the knowledge to love Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to love Jesus Christ. But it is up to you to love Jesus Christ, to let this love flow through you all your life in the midst of suffering. The crown of life is given to those who love Him. It is up to you to allow the Holy Spirit to pour this love in for Jesus Christ. Not everyone who knows about Jesus Christ truly loves Him. There are many believers, many multitude of believers through the history of the church, who, and I mean they're believers, but do not love Him. Now they might think they do, some, but why not? If they know Him, why wouldn't they love Him? First, they do not know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They refuse to walk in the Spirit by faith. They want to do it by works, want to do it by performance system, want to do it by do, not by faith. Secondly, and this is related to the first in the work of the Holy Spirit, but all that knowledge of Jesus Christ did not have a dynamic impact in their life. You can learn doctrine, people. You can learn about Jesus Christ, but never have it have an impact in your life to walk in the Holy Spirit by faith. It's just amazing. To become very base about it. A woman can say, oh, this man is great, this man is wonderful, this man's everything that I've put down on the list that I want for a husband, and on and on and on. But no, don't want him. That's what we can do with Jesus Christ. It's got to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's got to be in the power of the Spirit. Point 7. It is very difficult to love Jesus Christ all your life. It is very difficult to love Jesus Christ all your life. People, it is difficult to love a member of the opposite sex all your life. That's someone that we can see, touch, make love with, all these things. It's very difficult to do that all your life. But it is extremely difficult to love Jesus Christ all your life. He's invisible. We cannot see Him. We cannot hear Him. We cannot touch Him. It's difficult to truly love Him. It is difficult to walk by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul says the battle is a battle of faith. It's a battle of faith. It's what it comes down to. Every one of these things just come down to this. Battle of faith. By the power of the Holy Spirit, where you love for Him is more important than self. Your love for Him is more important, more powerful than temptations that come along to leave because of suffering. That's very difficult. Especially, and you know, it's difficult under severe suffering, and it's difficult under the mundane things of life. You just go through life. And this takes us to the crown of righteousness. But just day in and day out, nothing happens, nothing great, nothing bad, nothing. And this is where affairs come along. This gal or guy meet this other person, and boy, they're full of life, and they're this and they're that. And oh, I'm married to this guy, and he just comes home and does this and pays the bills, works hard, gets up early in the morning, goes to work. He does this day in and day out, not seeing the faithfulness there. And here's this guy or gal, and they're full of all of this, and boy, just that fling. Now, it's difficult. You're just your day in and day out life to stay in love. It's difficult under adversity and suffering to stay in love with Jesus Christ. It's very difficult to love Him, truly love Him by the power of the Spirit. It's difficult to live by faith. A love directed toward Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a love of such force that nothing can distract you from it. Now, we may be distracted part of a day or part of a week, but I'm talking about in the momentum of life. Point 8. When a believer has this kind of love for the Son of God, all his life, to the end, God is motivated to reward that believer. God the Father is motivated to reward that believer with a crown that declares and reveals that Jesus Christ was your life while you lived here on earth. And He called it the crown of life. When a believer has this kind of love for Jesus Christ, for the Son of God, God the Father is motivated to reward, this believer the crown that declares that Jesus Christ was your life, and therefore it's called the crown of life. Crown of life. Point nine. Spiritual love is the basis for the capacity of the enjoyment of life. This is seen in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 9. To have an enthusiasm for life. This is another reason why God calls this the crown of life to those who love His Son. Got a surprising verse, surprising place. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. Okay, let's read Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him, for this is your life, and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. Now he goes back to the Abrahamic covenant. We're not in a Mosaic covenant here, an Abrahamic covenant. Now, with that in mind, let's just read verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. See, I have set before you today life, crown of life, life and prosperity and death and adversity. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, faith and love, and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. Jump down to verse 20. By loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, faith and love, and holding fast to Him, for this is your life, the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them on the basis of faith. Not the Mosaic law. Not the Mosaic, the one He gave to Moses, but the one He gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, we will resume here next Tuesday night. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for these passages. What peace and what assurance it gives us to know what's going to happen after we die, after the rapture of the church, the events that are going to take place. We don't have to wonder about it. We're told. You've given us the word. You've told us, laid it out for us. We're going to die, then the rapture of the church, receive a resurrected body, heavenly worship with all the saints, standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and then the marriage supper of the Lamb, the return of Jesus Christ to planet Earth for the millennial reign. How awesome is your love that you cared enough about us to let us know these things because we're friends of Jesus. You've let us know these things. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.